Inspire Talk Radio, tune in to LA Talk Radio for reverent, entertaining, and cool talk.
The more back time looks, the more we're convinced everything is related. Like these interconnected events of October 30th.
Time passages.
In 1894, the time clock was patented by Daniel M. Cooper of Rochester, New York. That meant you and your boss could keep an accurate account of the hours you worked. Walking to work became easier in 1945 when the U.S. government announced the end of World War II shoe rationing. And after you work, you could relax in front of the TV, which in 1974 telecast Muhammad Ali knocking out George Foreman in Zaire to regain his world heavyweight title. That's back time for October 30th. This is your announcer speaking.
This station presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today, we salute you, Mr. Campaign Attack Ad Creator.
Mr. Campaign Attack Ad Creator.
Most people want campaign ads about how the candidates stand on the issues, but not you. No. You want ominous music, fancy editing, and name-calling akin to professional wrestling.
Put them both in a steel cage match.
Come on, you're just making this stuff up.
Want to find out how far you can sling mud? Yeah.
So the next time you see an ad that says one candidate hates America, loves his corporate buddies, and kicks puppies for fun, remember, it's not true. Just the handiwork of Mr. Campaign Attack Ad Creator. A real American hero.
Mr. Campaign Attack Ad Creator.
You know, if you just lived in the gutter, you wouldn't have to commute.
And now, from high atop the LA Talk Radio building, it's time for Sam and Susie in the Morning.
Sam and Susie in the Morning.
Right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Thursday, October 30th.
Yes, it is.
One more day in October, and that's it.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. It's Halloween already.
Yeah. Do you realize the elections are Tuesday?
So you keep selling me.
I do.
Every day for probably like the past 3 weeks, you've been like, the elections are just around the corner. And I'm like, oh, yeah.
I suppose so. I don't know.
And I was actually thinking on the way over here, I was like, you know what? It's October 30th. And I was like, shoot, I really should make sure that I'm registered to vote, like where I'm supposed to be. Because last time when I went to vote, I ended up going to like four different areas.
Yeah,
polls. Four different polls because I couldn't figure out where I was supposed to go before I found the right one.
Yeah. Well, isn't it kind of late to do that now?
No, I'm just going to figure it out ahead of time because I don't remember which one was my final stopping point.
Yeah. So you'll go to all four?
I'll go to all four. No, I want to try and prepare myself so I don't have to go to all four.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, that would help.
Thank you.
Yeah, so what's going on with the car? Did you get it fixed?
Oh, my God. Yeah, well, temporarily fixed, I guess. Mm-hmm. I don't know how it ran out of oil. I mean, it's only been 10,000 miles since my last oil change.
Yeah. Well, that sounds like a leak. I mean, oil doesn't just disappear, you know, so you might have a leak or something.
I do not want to have a leak.
I know.
That would be very bad. My last car had a leak, and I used to have to just constantly fill it with oil all the time.
Really,
They stripped the oil change. People stripped the thing at the bottom, and then they tried to, like, fix it with goo, and then the goo melted off, and then the oil just kept dripping off, and I can't tell you, like, the panic you feel when you're, like, driving on the highway, and you're, like, alone in the middle of the night, and all of a sudden, like, you get that oil light. Because when the light goes on, you don't have much time.
No.
Which is, like, the bad thing. Like, they should give you, like, at least, like, another, like, 50 miles or so when the light goes on, you
know? I suppose, yeah.
I mean, that's bullshit.
Yeah. Well, get a more expensive car. I'm sure that'll...
That'll solve the problem. I think I'm going to apply for the electric Mini and try and get one of those.
Really?
Yes. Do they even have oil in electric cars?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
Yeah, but they probably do. I mean, you have to have oil in every machine. Otherwise, you get a lot of friction and heat and stuff.
So. I like friction.
Do you? I'm sure.
I'm sorry.
So did you enjoy your time off yesterday?
Not really. It was actually spent waiting for a tow truck and dealing with that, and then getting the car towed down to the Pep Boys in Santa Monica, and then waiting for them to like get around to helping me fix my car. And
so they didn't.
No, well, they, you know, it was going to cost a lot of money to actually go and have like a synthetic oil change done there, and I really didn't have the money for it yesterday, so I did the quick fix of just putting oil in.
Yeah. Good.
And then I'm going to bring it to the dealership on Saturday, so
we shall see. It sucks when, I mean, your car is rather new, right? It's pretty new?
It's actually an 03.
03.
I bought it certified pre-owned.
You only have 10,000 miles on it?
55,000.
55.
But 10,000 from the last oil change.
I see. Okay.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, you're supposed to be able to go 15,000 miles in between these oil changes.
Not on these cars.
With synthetic. That's what my dealer told me.
Really?
They said come back every 15 for an oil change.
Mm.
So they're going to get it.
Yeah. Wow.
So did you enjoy TJ yesterday? Pretty face?
Yes, it was an interesting show. It kept staying around politics.
And we had an
author that wrote the book, The Faith of Barack Obama.
So that was appropriate.
Yeah, that was pretty interesting stuff, actually. You know, we found out he grew up in Indonesia for like 6 years.
Wait, TJ or the author?
No, the author. Not the author, Obama.
Oh, okay.
Obama.
Really?
Yeah. And he was practicing Islam for a while and stuff. So
wow.
Yeah, I mean, these are things I didn't really know. So that's pretty interesting stuff. And yeah, so we went politics and stuff. I'm sure we alienated half of our listeners since they don't tune in to us for politics. But I figure, you know, what the hell. We were thinking on Tuesday, sort of like making all the shows mesh into each other and stuff. So
People
coming in and out, you know, will follow the election and stuff. It could be pretty cool, and we'll have fun here, you know. So
gonna bring bagels again?
Yeah, that's a good idea. Let's bring some fucking bagels.
Bring some fucking bagels, I'll fucking gum.
Yeah. I know, I'll get you the cream cheese with the lox in it.
Yes.
You liked it, huh?
I really, really liked
it. Yeah,
it is
pretty cool. You're turning Jewish. You got to be careful.
I've always been into the bagel with lox.
Yeah.
And with the onions. Oh, my God. Especially at the delis in New York. So good.
I know.
So
you know,
good.
In New York, it's so different. You walk around and you smell the food on the street, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Here, you don't. You know?
I know.
It's like plastic here, you know? I mean, you walk around in New York, you're not even hungry, but you smell these great pastry or pizzas or whatever.
The only
food
I ever smell here is like when you're driving by a KFC. Like, that is the only food I've ever...
And you probably smell like grease.
And you don't even know if it's food that you're smelling. You're like, is that good or is that bad? I can't decide. What is this shit?
I know, but in New York also, they have the peanuts on each corner and stuff.
I love
stuff,
peanuts, you know? On the corner.
Okay, I'm going home. Your mind is totally not here today.
It is exactly.
Are you like extremely fucking horny today or what?
No, I'm actually still sick and tired.
Yeah.
Even though I took my stats test yesterday and, you know, I really thought I was prepared for it and I spent a lot of energy preparing for it. Mm. And that ended up being super hard anyway. And the cocksucking communist professor wouldn't grade it on the spot. So now I've got to wait till Monday to get my grade back.
Jeez.
But,
do you think you did well or...
I feel I did well, but the thing is, I went back and reviewed the test after I finished it, and then I kind of like started second-guessing myself, and I think I changed like one or two answers, which I know you're not supposed to do.
Yeah.
Like, I really should have just like stopped and handed it in the way it was, but I went back and I was like, well, maybe, no, I think it might be this, but maybe it could be this, but I really think it could be this.
I know, and that's what always gets you in trouble. You know, if you just go with your first instinct, often it works.
My first instinct is never right.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. But yes, then I ended up skipping biology class, and this is kind of funny, because I really was just tired. I needed to go to the grocery store, and I wanted to, like, you know, I wanted to cook a lasagna, a comfort lasagna to make myself feel better.
Mm-hmm.
But so I get an email from my friend Gary, who's in my biology class, and he's like, we missed you in class. Oh, my God, it's not the same without you. And I was like, I can imagine. And then he said the professor at the beginning of class was being observed. Like by one of like the deans, because he's a new professor at this school, and so the professor sent my friend Gary to wait outside for me to specifically tell me to curb my enthusiasm and to freaking keep my comments to myself. That way, Gary said when I didn't show up, the professor was sweating bullets like for the whole first like 45 minutes. Like every time the door would open, the professor would just kind of jump and be like, "Oh my God, please don't let it be Susie! Please don't let it be Susie!" Just because of all the inappropriate things I say during class. How sad is that?
You're out of control.
Like, normally he loves it, but I mean, he's being observed. And he doesn't want me to be like, you know.
I know.
So, Professor, does that mean my boyfriend should come in my face? Oh, my God.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You know, but when we asked Jace about this the other day, and she said, I don't talk about my sex life, that means that she likes it on her face, okay?
Oh!
Yeah, because if she didn't, she'd just say no. You know, that I think that's what it is. You know, so when people try to dodge a question, I think they mean yes. So now we consider Chase a cum lover on her face.
Oh, my God, she's going to kill you.
Well, you know, she can call in and refute that.
Oh, she just woke up. She just got out of bed. She's actually reading my college essays for me right now.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I'm extremely excited because we're going to have a special guest today. We're going to have Tracy Bingham from Baywatch.
Babe Watch.
Yep. And many other shows she's been in. She's been in Playboy as well.
Really?
Yeah. I haven't found those pictures yet, but we got to find them.
Like,
but
totally naked?
I would imagine if she's in Playboy, yes.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. You see, it's become like a chic thing to be in Playboy. It's not like an embarrassing thing anymore.
No. They just did, the pictures are like really artistic and kind of exotic. And, you know, they find new ways to show the same old thing.
Yeah. I know. So-called with taste, you know?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
Bullshit. People, I mean, men just want to see pink, you know?
It's, really?
Yeah. Yeah, the hell with that. I mean, those are nice and classy to hang on the wall or something, the Playboy pictures. But not something to masturbate to. Not for me, anyway.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
They're not something to masturbate to.
No, because they're not really sexual. They're more like pretty to look at. You know,
so beautiful. You have them hanging on your wall next to your bed.
I don't, no. But I'm saying...
It's because your wife would object.
No, I never actually...
look at porn with your wife.
No, I never put up posters of chicks and stuff.
Maybe when I was really young. Well, I should hope so, because you're not 18 anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, when I was 15, I put up some, but that's about it.
Aww.
I know, young kids, you know, grow up
and
so fucking
horny. And
your
parents didn't mind.
No, well, at first, yeah. But no, I mean, I never put up, like, naked girls. But, you know, maybe in bikinis or something, or, like, suggestive pictures.
What did your mother say?
She would fight it in the beginning, and then she realized, I can't fight it. You know, he's going to do whatever he wants. So I told her, my room is my room. Let me do whatever I want with it. You know.
Good point. Good point.
Yeah. So we are going to have Tracy Bingham here and in the studio live.
Super
and
exciting.
I'm extremely excited. Yes.
You get excited over the littlest thing.
Yeah. Well, that's good. It's the little things in life that matter, you know, I think, you know.
I hear
It's
you.
Like stopping and smelling the coffee, you know. I
the
mean,
Coke. The Coke. I hate drugs, but the Coke just smells so good. It's the best line ever. Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's true, huh? Get up and smell the Coke.
Get up and smell. Wake up and smell the Coke.
Yeah.
That should be a new line. Let's coin that one.
I know. And we're going to have in a couple minutes an author of a best-selling book. It's called How Starbucks Saved My Life. And it's been on a bestseller list for quite a while. And the author, we're going to call him in a few minutes and find out what this is about. Sounds like a fascinating story, actually. And what else? So, Monday we're going to have two special journalists in the studio. Howard Rosenberg has been the TV critic for the LA Times for 20 years.
Ooh,
and
fun.
And he wrote a book with, I forgot the man's name, I apologize, but he's reported for CNN and stuff. So they were both pretty prominent. And they wrote a book called No Time to Think about the media and how it treats us and how we treat the media and so forth. And I think it's like really, really interesting.
Wow, that should be amazing.
Yeah, so they'll actually be in the studio as well on Monday. And I'm looking forward to that as well.
Do they know each other?
They wrote it together.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they wrote it together. So, so
that's so appropriate for like Los Angeles.
It really is, you know, and the media today, you know, the coverage of the elections and shit and all the celebrities and stuff, you know. So, I mean, I don't know. I tend to be kind of innocent when it comes to media. I tend to think everything I read or everything I hear is true, you know, but it's not, you know, it's not.
That's why I have such a hard time making a decision on like little, not little things, actually, like major things about like how I actually feel about something or what I believe in. Mm-hmm. Because I can read an article, you know, pro or con,
right,
and I will really see both sides of the argument.
Yes.
And I'm just like, well, that's a really fucking good point. And I'm like, okay, I think I'm going to lean this way. And then I'll read the other side. And then I'm just like, whoa, that's a really good point, too. And I'm just like, oh, man, now I don't know what to think again.
I know. So, yeah, that's where judgment comes in, I suppose. You know, you sort of take sides.
Everyone always tells me I have really bad judgment, though, so maybe I should pick what I think, you know, I should go with, and then I should switch to the other side.
Choose the opposite.
Choose the opposite of what my judgment is pushing me towards. Oh, my God.
That's funny. So what else is new? You got all your furniture moved in and everything?
Yeah, I just wanted to take a second to thank everyone in my life that has been so wonderful for me lately, because I've been having like a really stressful week trying to meet all my deadlines and everything. Mm-hmm. And I'm supposed to be in Vancouver right now.
Yes, you are.
I'm not even supposed to be here. I'm so sad.
Aww.
Not sad to be here, but, you know, I'm sad to not be there.
To not be there. I would be too, you know? I mean, what the hell?
Yeah, my friends got me this ticket to Madonna about like 6 months ago. And they've been really, they had like a Canadian countdown for when their crazy American was going to show up. And so making the decision to not go was very difficult. But but I'd only bought a one-way plane ticket there anyway.
Yeah.
Because I bought it a couple months ago and I had the extra money. And I was like, oh, I'll have the extra money to buy the return flight, like closer to the date. And then I didn't have that extra money. And then one of the women I nanny for, she was like, Susie, if you really want to go, she's like, I'll buy your plane ticket home. And I was like, that's so sweet of you. Thank you.
Yeah.
And then she said, well, you know what? If you don't get to go or you choose not to go, she said, my husband works in the music industry. And he's like, I'll get you tickets to Madonna next week.
Oh, wow.
I was like, what? I was like, that's so nice of you.
That's amazing.
And then my girlfriend, well, Chase, you know, sat me down and has been working really hard with me to get my essays done for UCLA.
That's cool.
Yeah, because she's very, very skilled at that. And let's see. And then Eric and Benji came, and Eric helped me move and find storage and got a truck. And, you know, he's got a broken arm, and here he is, like, sherpering furniture around.
I know. You know, I was thinking about it, and I thought, God, you know, men will do anything for girls, for women, you know? And that's a good thing. I mean, what the fuck, you know?
I was just thinking about it, and it's like, Eric has helped me move now. This was like the third time he has helped me move.
Really?
From like Massachusetts. Actually, no, the fourth time. I'm going to go fourth time.
Really?
Yep. That poor man.
Oh, well.
Oh,
okay, let's call our author now. And Mr. Michael Gates Gill. So let's get him on the line. Okay, so there we go. This is cool. At least we get to get the guests, you know. Otherwise, we miss them when they call in. You know, 9 times out of 10, they call. We don't even know.
Michael Gill?
Yes, good morning, Mr. Gill. This is Sam and Susie in the morning from Los Angeles. How are you doing this morning?
Good.
We're calling you regarding your book. You did expect us to call, didn't you?
Yes, yeah, absolutely. I was looking forward to it.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful.
Welcome to our show.
Yes, and where are we calling you? Where are you at right now?
Right, I'm in a little town outside New York, a village called Bronxville, New York.
Oh.
Bronxville. Oh, okay, cool.
Do you know that, Susie?
I do. Really? I'm a New Yorker.
Yes. It seems like all you authors are in New York. What is going on there?
Well, I don't know. They think that... you know, most authors also only dream of going to L.A., you know?
I suppose, yeah, yeah. But it's true that...
New York authors, you know, always say, gosh, someday I'd love to be, you know, out there in the sunshine and, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Well, we're only 3,000 miles away. Come on down.
Yeah, that's all it takes. Except I don't know on the Starbucks wages if you'd be able to take a plane really quickly. And
Sam.
Well, I don't
know. But Sam, I'd be able to work in a Starbucks in L.A., though, probably.
There you go. Make a little more. Huh?
That is the nice thing about Starbucks. You can transfer your job, like, pretty much anywhere in the world that they have them.
I suppose, yeah.
I like that about it.
Yeah. So, well, let's get to your book. This has been on the bestseller list for a while, right?
Yes, yeah. No, the hardcover came out last year and got on the New York Times bestseller list, and now the paperback is also doing really well. You know, I hate to say this, Sam, but I think in a way, as I discovered, more and more people are getting, I think, feeling that the story, you know, how someone who had everything, lost everything, and found a new kind of happiness, I think they're finding that much more important here as, you know, things get tougher, sort of.
Right. And it's obviously very inspiring. So I imagine you talked about this so many times, but tell us quickly what happened, how you came to start working at Starbucks after you've had a great career and then ended up writing this book.
Yeah, well, I think the sort of the shortest way to say it is that I was born with everything, I lost everything, but then I found a new kind of happiness. And when I say born with everything, I grew up in a 25-room mansion. My father, Brendan Gill, was a famous writer for the New Yorker magazine, which in those days, this is before even the internet, Sam and Susie, but, you know, was sort of everybody looked to, J.D. Salinger, Truman Capote, and, you know, all these famous writers. And I grew up in that world, and I also later, you know, got to know Jackie Kennedy and Ernest Hemingway and all those people. So I was living this sort of top life, and I went to Yale, and then after Yale, I joined an advertising agency and got up to be an executive vice president at six-figure salary. So I thought I sort of was a master of the universe.
Right.
And then in my 50s...
Were you happy at the time? Were you happy with all this stuff? Were you a happy... But that wasn't the case.
Well, no, because... But it took me... By the way, I have to say, I'm not a saint or something. I would never have left that life if I hadn't been thrown out of it, you know?
Right, right. So tell us what happened. I mean, you had a cushy life. Were you married at the time? Did you have a family?
I was married. I had a family and a big house and, you know, all the stuff. Mm-hmm. And then one day when I'm in my 50s, I was invited out for breakfast. And by the way, you probably know corporate life. If you're ever invited for a meal outside of the office, that's always a danger sign, right?
Mm.
Especially if it's not dinner.
Yeah.
Right.
If they're going to splurge for a big dinner.
Yeah, no, you're right. Susie, if you're right out for dinner, that means you got a promotion.
If you're there for breakfast and a donut.
then you're ready to get fired, which happened to me. And you know, that was such a shock. I mean, it shouldn't have been, but... You know, I'd invested this corporation with, you know, like human qualities. Like I thought if I was loyal and, you know, sacrificed and went everywhere they wanted me to, they'd be loyal to me. Of course, you know, organizations or corporations don't really have that kind of soul or human.
They're unfeeling machines.
Yeah.
Really. So that was my own stupidity, but I can't tell you how hurt and it really was. And also, I defined myself in my life by what I did, right?
Right.
So,
like most of us do.
Yeah.
Yeah, many of us do. Go ahead.
Yeah. And then, you know, then sort of a downward spiral, I got divorced. And then I had another shock. At 63, I went for a routine physical. And, by the way, no one should go for a routine physical after 60, I don't think.
Really? It should be a little more routine, huh?
Really? Well, there's never going to be one routine after a certain age. Right?
I see. Okay. Go on.
But anyway, the doctor, you know, it said routine MRI, and then he diagnosed this. He said, you have a rare form of brain tumor, but he said, I'm a brain surgeon, can operate tomorrow. But then I told him, but I don't have any health insurance, you know, because I'd given it up after leaving corporate life.
That's right.
Oh, no.
How sad, yes.
So I found myself, you know, at 63, having been born with everything and really having, you know, losing my job, in a sense, my family, because we were divorced and estranged from my children, and then I lost my health. You know, I thought I'd live forever, and suddenly, you know, that sign that it could be over soon. And then that's one day I was feeling so bad, at that age, saying to myself, you know, how we write stories in our head. I was saying, my life is over. But then I saw there was a Starbucks store. This is in New York City. And I said, well, even if my life is over, I'm going to have one more latte, right?
Yeah. You might as well, yeah.
And I went into the store and I sat down and I had my latte and by accident. And here, Sam and Susie, is where I think things are sort of miraculous. I mean, you know, the best things in life sometimes happen by accident. And by accident, I walked into a store that was having a hiring event. And I happened to sit down next to this young African-American woman who grown up totally different situation, right? She was born in the projects of Brooklyn. Her mother died of a drug overdose when she was 15. She'd been sent to an aunt who didn't like her. In other words, a totally different background. Mm-hmm. But she was there to hire someone, and she looked over at me and she said, would you like a job? And without thinking, I mean, if I thought about it, I probably would have said no, but because I didn't think about it, I just said yes. And by saying yes to Crystal, which turned out to be her name, my life began to turn around.
Wow. Now, let me ask you this. Were you not in a position to get another cushy job after that one?
Well, that's a very good question, Sam. But, you know, the difficulty in corporate life, I mean, I couldn't even publicly say, hey, I've been fired, I need more help. But I had a consultancy afterwards. And, you know, for a year or two, it worked out because my friends were still around. But gradually, no one wanted an older advertising guy, you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
And after being, you know, given so much, I really didn't know how to just sort of raise my hand and say, hey, I'm drowning, you know, I need help, I'm virtually broke. And so I wasn't really qualified in a way for survival. I mean, if Crystal hadn't looked over and said, would you like a job, that's why I think, without thinking, I said yes, because I knew in my heart that I really needed to get out of the box I was in.
Yes. But, you know, I mean, this begs the question, though. You came from a wealthy family. Was there nobody to help you out?
Well, it was, you know, this sounds sort of crazy, but I was really embarrassed to ask for help, you know, Sam?
I see. Yes, that's what you said. Even the family.
Because I was I was still dressing up in my Brooks Brothers suit, and I, you know, in a crazy way, I thought if I just dress up every day and behave like an advertising executive, maybe I can still be. In other words, I was still going with the dream of being something, you know, like I'd been a big shot once, right?
Right.
And I was still saying, if I dress up like a big shot and act like a big shot, maybe that'll come true for me.
Yes. And it didn't.
No, I mean, I think, by the way, what I discovered talking to people is that a lot of people get in that sort of rut. They know that it's not working, that they're failing, but they don't know how to change. And that's why one of my suggestions to people is that when you get in that way, just try to leap out of your box. I mean, in other words, say yes and do something, because just by, and it's not just Starbucks, but anything, any activity and any putting yourself in a whole new situation is better than staying in your own little box.
Right, right. So it's better to have a little humility and go in and move on rather than sit there and wallow in all your sorrow.
So were you wearing the Brooks Brothers suit when you went into the Starbucks and got the job?
Oh, yes, I was, yeah.
Oh, my God. That must have been embarrassing.
I had my briefcase. I had my cell phone. You know, Susie, I was still faking it. You know what I mean?
Yes.
But, yeah. I mean, I don't really think you were faking it. I mean, I think you were just trying to, you know, look respectable. And, I mean, like, just because you lost everything doesn't mean you've got to put on the same pair of sweats every day and, like, a raggedy T-shirt. I think you had a lot of respect in yourself and you wanted to, you know, portray that.
Yeah, I think the biggest mistake I meant, though, is that, well, and then Crystal said, well, here, fill out this job application, and I said, well, I need your help. And that was another important thing to do. I think it's hard for other people to help you if you don't ask for help, right?
Yes, mm-hmm. You've got to ask for it, absolutely.
And so, I think, once again, it wasn't really courage or something, but it was just desperation. I knew, because I never had filled out a job application, I never had to. Crystal took me through it, and she said, you know, even as a part-time employee, you will get health insurance and your kids will get health insurance. So I realized this wasn't just casual. You know, I really wanted that job.
But, right. Yeah, you got to do what you got to do sometimes.
Yeah, and I was really scared too, Sam. The first day when I, you know, sometimes you think a job is below you, right?
Right.
And that first day I realized this job could be way beyond me, you know?
I mean,
all these young people, decades younger, running around calling out ventes, lattes, you know, and the cash register, three cash registers moving, and I'd never been good with money, so I thought, you know, I could be fired a lot faster at Starbucks than I ever was in my advertising.
Oh, no.
So, now, how long ago did this take place?
Well, this is 4.5 years ago now. I've been working at Starbucks.
Oh, so you're still there?
Yeah, well, absolutely, yeah.
That's amazing.
Did they endorse your book?
I'm still struggling, though. I mean, the other day a lady came and says, give me a double-tone, non-fat, extra foam latte. And, you know, I gave it to her. She came back a couple seconds later. She said, Mike, this is missing something. I said, what? I worked so hard with the milk. And mm-hmm. She said, you forgot the coffee. Oh, I forgot the coffee.
That would have helped a little bit.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Wow. So, but I would imagine you meet some nice people working with the public like this.
Well, the nicest people, I think, and the people that really helped me were like Krista, who was, you know, the manager of my store, and then Kester, another guy who was sort of what they call my training coach. But right. Every day, you know, Sam and Susie, I meet my partners, you know, who we call ourselves partners because we're given stock and health benefits and all that stuff, but also the guests. You're right, Sam. I think that is the most refreshing thing because, you know, I spent so many years in these crazy meetings, and we'll be meetings about meetings, and I wasn't really out engaging and looking at people and talking, and actually serving people, I discovered, is a lot more fun than sitting up in a corner office and being served, you know?
Yeah. So would you say that you, by choice now, are staying there, or are you still having a hard time finding a similar position? I mean, I would imagine if you got there once, you could get there again.
Well, actually, I never want to go back.
Okay. That makes sense. So you sort of like learn to live with, let's say, a lower lifestyle. Maybe not necessarily even your lifestyle. It's just less money around.
Yeah. Well, you know, what happened, like one night I was working the store and I became a great cleaner, by the way. I can really clean up, you know, a toilet or a floor. Anyway, one night I closed
I need some tips.
No one could beat me. If you need, you know, sometimes people say to me, well, I'd like, if you say that, I'd like you to come over to my house, you know?
Right.
So one night I cleaned up and I closed and, you know, I put my hand on my heart because you asked about, you know, Sam, in the beginning, whether I was happy. And I said, you know, I'm happier now than I've ever been. And I had to walk around the block, but then I realized, yeah, you know, because that big status life, the big job and all that stuff, you know, it was not right for me. It might have been right for my father, it might have been right for other people, but for me, I'm so much happier today just living in a little apartment versus, you know, a big house and doing a small, you might call it a small service job, just showing up, working a shift, serving other people than I ever was in that other world that I inhabited. And I think that's why, you know, Tom Hanks said he wanted to make a movie about it, you know?
Oh, yeah. Wow. Amazing. Well, maybe they will one day. I mean, it's
well, he called and said he wanted to do it because he said, you know, in American life, we think that, you know, you have to always strive for all those material achievements. And here's a story of somebody who had all that stuff, and not through my own will, but, you know, I lost it all, but I discovered that I'm happier today with just a, you know, as you said, Sam, just a lot less stuff.
Yes.
But because I lost all that, I think I found a new kind of happiness.
Absolutely. And this
would Tom Hanks play you in the movie?
That's what he said. Yeah, he's producing it and starring, and then Gus Van Sant is going to direct it.
Wow. Well, that'd be good. Now, has the book brought you some money?
Well, I've gotten a little bit. I don't know if you talked to too many other authors, but it's sort of mysterious how that works. You know, I wouldn't say it's made it, you know, but I think the other thing is, Sam, you know, at my age, I'm 68 now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to. I have no desire to acquire more stuff, you know?
I see.
I want to trade my apartment for a big, something like that, you know?
Right. But you're living comfortably now, I would imagine.
Yeah, well, I'm living simply, which is such a relief. You know, I have a little white plastic dining room table, two plastic chairs, but I didn't realize until I lost all that stuff that it's such a relief to go through life with less. I mean, it's like the difference between, you know, carrying 18 bags when you're trying to get on a plane and virtually walking through the airport with nothing, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
That's the best feeling in the world.
it really is, you know. And, I mean, I had a point in my life where I started over. And, you know, you start, you know, you only buy what you can afford. And, you know, you just live... you know, a more thrifty life, you know, and I think, you know, this proves once again, I think the bottom line here is that happiness really does not come from having material things, but really you got to find yourself somewhere along the line. And your story is very inspiring because apparently it took you a long time, but even at this age of 68, you know, you hung in there and you managed to turn around and really have an inspiring life, I think, at this point.
I think that's the main story, especially because, you know, people worry about the stock market or the Asian market, or, you know, all the stuff that's happening, and we don't have any control over that.
Right.
But if we listen to our own hearts and find a way that we can be happy sort of, you know, with who we are in that day, as you say, Sam, it's who you are and being true to that, I think that's the way of true happiness. And then almost everything that happens, I see today also as a gift. I'm so grateful. That, you know, like I'm just talking to you and Susie right now, that's to me a great gift, you know.
Right.
And I think understanding that interaction with other people and with yourself is the key to happiness.
Are your children proud of you?
Well, I think they are not, I wouldn't know about proud, but I think we're closer now than we were before, just because, you know, when they were growing up, I would always, you know, be sort of arrogant and tell them, you know, you got to do this and this or be like me, and I was really judgmental of them. So when they saw me sort of fail, I would have to say, but, you know, then they saw me being willing to work and willing to do anything, and also the struggling to keep up. I mean, my daughter Laura, I would always argue with her because she's, you know, I would say these kind of people can't do this kind of thing, and she'd say, you know, you don't get it, you know, because you were given all this. And then she came in after been at Starbucks a couple of weeks, and she said, Dad, you're finally getting it.
Yeah.
What she meant was, you know, that if it had been an equal playing field, I would be struggling to keep up, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. And, yeah, I think it just shows again that, you know, I mean, big events like this make you humble, you know, and then you stop for a moment and you start thinking, well, what is life really about, you know? And I think that's what you went through. And I salute you for, you know, for hanging in there. And not only that, but finding your story inspiring enough to share it with the rest of the world. And
how long did it take you to write the book?
Well, that's a good question, Susie. Well, my daughter Annie, while I was going through this, she said, why don't you keep a journal? So even before I went to work for Starbucks, I started writing just a few sentences at night, you know, just about what I was feeling. And then after a year at Starbucks, I reread the journal and said, gosh, you know, that first day there, I was so terrified and scared and unhappy, and now I'm so happy. And so I said to myself, I said, you know, I'd like to have read this story when I was going through hard times, and because I tried to, you know, look at books and stuff when I was struggling, and most of the books were about how you could get rich or how you could be like, you know, some Donald Trump or someone, and there were very few books about how you could lose things but find new happiness. And that's really what I wanted to share with other people. So when, because everyone hits hard times of different kinds, I wanted them to say, hey, you know, around the next corner, if you trust yourself and you're true to yourself, as you say, Sam, you could discover a whole new kind of happiness you never imagined before.
Yes.
You know what? My story with my life is a little bit similar. I grew up as a child model and actress, and I had a small fortune as a kid, you know, but I'd always worked hard for it. And then when I stopped working and chose to go to school, you know, I ended up spending all of my money, and then I ended up putting myself in debt. And to this day, I'm now out of debt, but now, you know, now I'm back in school again, but I'm nannying and I'm bartending and like serving other people and just taking care of kids. And my family's like, Susie, when are you going to get a real job? When are you going to like, you know, start making a salary? And, you know, when are you going to buy your own house? And it's like, you know what? I may live like very humbly right now, but I am so happy with everything I'm doing.
Yes. And that's what matters. You know, it really, you know, it's not what you see on the outside, but I think it's really on the inside. And if you're happy, that's all that matters. That's success, I think, you know.
But by the way, also, you know, Susie, that when you talk about that, I think everybody should tell their story. Everyone has a story to tell, you know. I mean, it doesn't, you don't have to do it through book form, or you and Sam, Susie, or, you know, or
we do it through the radio.
Because I think that's the best way we all sort of not only comfort each other, inspire each other, but also the way we learn how to live our lives better, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Mr. Michael Gates Gill, your book is How Starbucks Saved My Life, A Son of Privilege Learns to Live Like Everyone Else. Very inspiring. We really thank you for joining us. And I think at least I learned a little lesson from this. And you know, which I've been discovering in my older age, that it's really not about the material things, you know. And for you to really emerge from all this and be able to write this book, I salute you for that. Congratulations on the book. Do you have any links, websites, or anything we can go to learn more?
I'm not really up to speed, but I think the best way, you can Google me on, you know, Google or whatever. I have done a couple of, you know, they've got pictures of me, like, talking at different places. But I think, you know, in my paperback book, I have sort of three tips on the last, you know, because these are the three lessons that people have told me they've learned.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the three things are, first of all, like, when you get stuck in a, is to leap with faith rather than huddle with fear. And the second one is to look with respect at every individual, just like Crystal gave me a chance. She respected me, and I learned to respect her without regard to background or sex or education or anything. And then the third one is just what we were all talking about, is listen to your own heart, not your parents, what they're saying, or your friends or family, but because every one of us is made to live our own destiny, not somebody else's, and that's our God-given gift. So I think, and by the way, Susie, I really look forward to maybe your book someday.
Yes. Oh, she's got definitely a few books in her. You don't even know her. But thank you again, Mr. Michael Gates Gill. And I would imagine if anybody went to Amazon.com or one of these bookstores, you'll find it there. I know I've seen the book many times before. And it definitely grabbed my interest.
Yeah, the title is very
Catchy.
Yeah, but
you know what we learned about titles, that usually the author leaves that to the publisher. So
was that the case in this?
Well, no, I thought that I wanted to say it that way because I felt that, you know, Starbucks really did, you know, save my life. And in the sense that I also learned there a new way of working. You know, in my previous advertising life, it's sort of been by fear, you know, getting, you know, you're going to get fired or whatever. And then Starbucks, like that very first day, you know, Christoph took me over, gave me a cup of coffee, gave me a, in my 26 years in advertising, I never thought about bringing coffee for somebody else,
yeah.
You know?
Uh-huh.
So I learned valuable lessons from my partners that I hadn't realized before.
Do you think it would have been different if it had been a coffee bean?
Well, I think everything, you know, that's the other sort of magic of life, right? That, you know, these things, you can't plan the best things you happen to you, right?
Right. Yeah.
So I think everything would be different. But what I do now, instead of thinking I can control my life or that I'm master of the universe, I just have given up control. But, you know, it's such a relief. It's like giving up the luggage we talked about and the stuff.
Right.
If you sense of yourself of being in control of every moment, then whether it's a coffee bean or, you know, a coffee cup or just, you know, seeing a little bit of sunshine on a beautiful day, everything is a kind of miraculous gift.
Absolutely. Absolutely. A very inspiring story, How Starbucks Saved My Life by Michael Gates Gill. Michael, thank you so much for your time and the story. It was really inspiring. I mean, that's the best word I can find.
Absolutely.
You know, and fascinating as well. So all the best to you and your family, and we wish you a lot of luck. And
and maybe we'll see you at Starbucks.
Yes.
thank you, Sam. Thank you, Susie. You two are kind of inspiring to me because I think you're having a good time discovering new stories, right?
Absolutely.
Now, so your Starbucks where you work, is that in New York? Are you still at the same location where you met Crystal?
No, I that was in a New York and Broadway and 93rd. And, well, as Susie knows, this is about half an hour from that store. But this store is closer to my apartment, so I can walk to work, which is a great gift.
Nice.
That's even better.
Nice. Okay, wonderful. So next time we want a Starbucks, we'll definitely look for you. Michael Gill, thank you so much, and have a great day, sir.
Thank you. Thank you, Sam. Thanks, Susie.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay. So that was pretty cool, huh?
Yeah. I'm reading this thing on the back of the three things he just told us, mm-hmm. and it says, look with respect. And then he says, when I was growing up in New York City, I was told, don't make eye contact. and it's seriously, that's the way I grew up, too.
Yeah.
It's like my mother would always, like, you know, she would keep her eyes down, and, like, I would try and mimic her, and then you would just, like, walk, and you would try and just, like, look at people's feet. Because if you make eye contact with people, you know, you've got the poor people and the beggars that are always, like, asking for money and this and that and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. But do you know that, like, in body language, if you are the one that that moves your eyes away, then you're in the inferior position.
Well, if you never make eye contact to begin with,
yes,
you can't be in any kind of position.
No, I think you still are because the person that looks at you is sort of like, I think, in the upper position. It sort of like makes sense to me. I don't know why, but it's almost like, you know, let's say I'm walking by a woman on the street or something, right? And I'm looking at her and she looks down. It kind of puts me in the superior position, like she's sort of like afraid or shy or whatever it is, you know, don't you think?
I see where you're coming from with that. I think it was more like in the sense of like the homeless people.
Yes.
It's like if you make eye contact with them and you actually see them as a real person.
Right. And then you also invite them to
And then you feel
you.
The humanity of like the situation. And then you're like, fuck, now I got to give them some money or some food or something.
Yeah. Plus they look for you to look at them so then they can approach you, you know.
Exactly.
And
I gave a homeless man yesterday. I was leaving Trader Joe's and at the store I was hungry and snacky. So I picked up some like California rolls.
Mm-hmm.
And I ate two of them in the store and then I had the other. They're like four in there. I tried to give the homeless man my sushi, mm-hmm. and he's like, I was like, excuse me. He's like, do you have money? Like with his hat and like walking around by all the cars.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, I'm not going to give you any money. I was like, but I was like, ooh. I was like, how about an apple? And he's like, I don't want your apple. And I was like, okay, well, fuck you. And I was like, all right, well, I was like, do you want some sushi? And he didn't want my sushi either.
Really?
I was like, here's some like fresh fruit and some healthy like, you know, brown rice California roll.
Uh-huh.
And the fucking homeless man was like snubbing my food.
No, fuck them. Yeah, but you got to remember most of them are mentally ill or something, you know. And
but they got to be hungry.
They don't think straight. You're right, but go figure, you know.
Like when I was a kid, my mom would always send me to the city with you know, like $30 in my pocket, but that was supposed to be cab money. So, mm-hmm. like, you know, so I wouldn't be taking the subways.
Right.
But I would take that, and then she would send me with, like, a peanut butter and jelly or some kind of sandwich. By the time I get to the city, I wouldn't want the peanut butter and jelly. I would want some really good New York food.
Uh-huh.
So I would always ditch the cabs, take the subways to save money, uh-huh. give the homeless people my peanut butter and jelly.
And go buy good food.
And then just go buy really yummy food that I was never allowed to eat. So.
Oh, God, you're such a brat.
I'm sorry. What can I do, you know?
Not much. So, I saw on Facebook, Janique, your good friend,
yes.
is in a relationship now.
Is she?
Is that like back with the old guy or what's going on?
It's with the guy that she was kind of with when she was out here last time. Well, I mean, technically right. they were broken up with Hal.
Yeah.
So
she changed it from it's complicated to... in a relationship now.
Oh, yes. I totally didn't even notice that.
Really?
I'm glad you're keeping me in touch with my friends.
It's so weird on Facebook. You know, everybody's doing it, and everybody's only too happy to tell the whole fucking world what they're doing, you know?
I know. I mean, it's like, it was funny, just yesterday I was just like, oh, like, Susie's going home to cook some comfort lasagna. And I've got like 10 responses, like, can I come over for dinner? And it's like, well, no, actually, I need to, my comfort lasagna is just for me.
Yeah.
No, I don't mind sharing food with anyone.
Was
but,
it good?
It's really fucking good.
Really?
Ground turkey and zucchini and carrots.
Oh,
and
but I don't like turkey in lasagna.
Really?
Yeah, it makes the it makes the taste sort of weird, I think.
Yeah. Not if you like ground turkey.
I guess if you like ground turkey, it would be different.
It's leaner. It's not as fatty. It's better for you.
Right.
So, what do you like? Sausage or?
I don't know, just the, don't they put like ground meat in there or something?
I do ground turkey.
Yeah, so they put ground beef. I guess that's good.
I don't like touching ground beef.
No?
No.
Why?
It makes me want to puke.
Really?
Blah.
And ground turkey is okay?
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't know, ground beef looks like worms. It does, and it's like the texture is different than the turkey. Like the turkey, like... I don't know. For some reason, the two are, like, totally different.
Mm.
I mean, I don't really like the ground turkey, but, like, I don't even touch it. I, like, take it out of the packet, and I throw it right in the pan to cook it. But the ground beef, oh, my God, it really makes me nauseous, like, even walking through, like, the meat section of a grocery store.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I remember when I was a kid, my mom would actually grind the meat. And,
herself?
Yeah, through those meat grinders, you know? And then it comes out, like, in those worms.
Ew! I would have nightmares. What's the point of grinding it?
So you can shape it into different, you know, and it tastes different too. But you can shape it into a hamburger or a shish kebab or whatever.
Wait, so you know? I'm imagining like what does it look like before it's ground?
Just a piece of meat, you know, probably like steak or something.
Oh. You know?
And then they just run it through the machine.
What, you hand grind it?
Well, I'm sure today they don't hand grind it, you know.
But your mom is hand grinding?
Yes, because they didn't have...
she must have some muscles.
Yeah, I remember this little contraption thing. You'd attach it to the table, and it had like a, you know, like a handle, and you just kind of turn it.
Oh, my God.
I know. I mean, that really makes me feel old, you know. But you got to remember, I also came from Israel, which was not as advanced... as America at the time, you know, I mean...
I don't want to say backwards, but, you know, because I know it's not backwards, but just, you know, kind of stuck in, like, the good old days, as I like to call it.
In some ways. Look,
but in
I
the
mean,
good, but in good ways, you know what I mean?
No, I mean, like, socially.
Quaint.
Like, socially, you won't find a better place to live in the world. I mean, to raise kids, you know, you always have friends, everybody's got friends and family and sort of thing, so it's a lot less formal. But now, today, it's like almost like the 51st state, you know? I mean, it's like everything's American there. And it's amazing to see that, you know? People look Western, you know, they dress in American and European fashion and so forth, you know, the cars.
Well, it's kind of sad that people, that the countries are losing, like, their individuality, I think.
Yeah, but you gotta, I mean, there's progress, you know? You gotta, I know, I miss the 70s here in the States. It was the best fucking time ever. You know?
I could just imagine you with like a big Jufro, like wearing your platforms and your bell bottoms.
No Jufro, but man, we used to hang out in vans,
you would wear,
Chevy
you
vans.
You would wear the platforms?
I think so at a certain point.
Shut up,
at
you
one
did
time,
not.
Yes. Everybody did. I did have very long hair. And
you did?
I did.
We've got to get some pictures of those.
Yeah, I'll have to. That's true. I should post some of those on Facebook.
You really should.
Yeah, that would be cool. And but I loved those times. I mean, it was so, we were so innocent. You know, we were so innocent. driving in Chevy vans with the chicks.
I don't think I was ever innocent.
With pot, with water beds in the back.
A water bed in the back?
Yeah, that used to be like the hottest thing in the Chevy van. And yeah, I mean, there'd be so much sex going on. You know, and 8-track tapes. Have you ever, do you know what an 8-track tape
I've
is?
I've heard of them. I don't think I've ever seen
yeah,
one.
Yeah, it's like, you know how we had cassette tapes until recently. And so these were like much bigger cartridges. And, you know, I mean, like really big, like a CD changer.
And they actually play it in the car?
Yeah, yeah, you'd play it in the car, and it would be like, you'd press the button, and it would go to the next song, you know, so.
And you'd have sex
like
on your waterbed to the 8-track.
I remember listening to the Doobie Brothers and Led Zeppelin and shit. I mean, those were the days, let me tell you.
Oh, my goodness.
You were, yeah, you were still just a little glint in your parents' eyes.
I don't think I was ever planned. I don't think I was ever even a glint.
You don't think you were planned, really?
No, I don't think so.
Why? How would you know?
'Cause I think they were happy with two. And then the only reason, when I think when they found out my mom was pregnant, I think the only reason they were happy was because they wanted a boy.
Oh.
And so they really hoped I would be a boy. Like, they swore up and down I was going to be a boy. Yeah. My name was going to be Theodore.
Really? Oh, my God.
Yes.
Theodore. Go through life with that name, my
or,
God.
Or Teddy would have been my
yeah,
nickname.
Teddy.
How awful.
Terrible.
Theodore.
Terrible.
Can you imagine if Theodore was sitting across from me right now?
Yeah. So do you think they sort of like... raised you like a tomboy, or was that like in your personality, you think?
I think right from the start, they, yeah. You know, like they kind of were like, all right, send her back, we want a boy. We trade her in for a new one.
I know.
And so I think I kind of, I don't know if they raised me as a tomboy or not. You know, that's hard to say.
Yeah.
Just because I always was constantly like out rolling around in the mud and like trying to like collect earthworms and go frog hunting, and my dad would take me snake hunting on the farm and everything. I've just always really been into animals and just kind of getting my hands dirty.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, but you never know. I mean, look, now you're far from being a tomboy. My daughter.
I beg to differ. You just saw me spit out there 17 feet.
That's true. I take it back. I didn't think you'd want people to know about this.
Oh, I don't care. I'm very proud of my abilities.
Yeah, but we're standing outside, and Susie goes, wah! And I thought, okay, this stuff has got to come out somewhere. And then she just spits it like fucking 10 feet, 17 feet. I don't know how fucking far you spit.
The look on your face, I thought you were going to pee your pants.
I was. I mean, I never expected that from you.
Well, it's not something I obviously like say in like the first interview. Oh, by the way, I could spit 17 feet. No, I wait until I like, have the job and it's secured and that people love me, and then I really let the real me show. Because you got to take the good with the bad, Sam.
You really do. You really do. That's funny.
Oh my God! Should we take a break and then and wait for our guest?
We should probably wait a few more minutes, you know. But
oh, okay.
Yeah. What do you think? Okay, let's take a break. We've been talking long enough. We'll be back right after this.
Nancy Goldwyn is a real GEICO customer, not a paid celebrity. So to help tell her story, we hired an actual Halloween celebrity, Freddy Krueger.
I got into an accident when I pulled onto Elm Street.
Every town has an Elm Street.
It would have been a nightmare if it weren't for GEICO. Thank God.
This is God.
GEICO was so helpful, I recommended them to my boyfriend.
I'm your boyfriend now, Nancy.
GEICO. Real service, real savings, real insane Halloween celebrities.
You found the number one internet site for irreverent, cool, and entertaining talk programming. It's LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.
Starting line, trapped on the circle. This is the great Senator Ted Kennedy. I am a big fan of Sam and Susie in the Morning here on LA Talk Radio. There is nothing more than I like Jews and nymphomaniacs. And put that pair together, and that is something I will listen to on my internet radio all day long. Here they are, Sam and the horny little slut, Susie. Era.
It's Sam and Susie in the Morning on LA Talk Radio.
Ooh, that is nasty.
That's just funny that you have that because I know him.
And I know.
A horny little slut is like the last thing that he thinks I am. He thinks I'm very conservative. He doesn't know the real me, though.
No, I suppose not. Maybe he listens to the show. Who knows?
Oh, no. I don't think I would have told him about that. So I found another guest for our show, a musician, yesterday at Trader Joe's.
Yes?
Uh-huh.
You picked up a guy?
I picked up a guy. He was actually I swear, you know what? I think I might want to work at a Trader Joe's one day.
Really?
I really would love to.
Why?
Everyone just has so much fun there. And I mean, like, after hours, they have, like, wine tastings and they drink beer while they're restocking all the food.
Is that so, really?
Yeah, I mean, it's just like one big happy family there, and it just seems that everyone really, really, really enjoys their work.
How can you enjoy working at a grocery store?
I would not enjoy working at Whole Foods. I would like to work at a Trader Joe's.
Yeah.
I don't know. It really just seems like so much fun. Every time I'm in there, you know, I'm walking down the aisle, and yesterday it was like so packed because I went there at like 5:30, which was like the worst time to go, but it was like the only time I could do it. And the place was so packed, and even all the customers were pushing our carts and were bumping into each other because, like, the aisles are really small and narrow, and everyone's singing, like, the songs that they're playing, like, on you know, the radio overhead.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, literally, I mean, it seems like it's, like, two seconds away from, like, turning into a musical when everyone starts, like, pushing their grocery carts in unison into the beat and just, like, you know, start tap dancing.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But, so, yeah, my checkout clerk was this guy. What was his name? Eric, I think. Yeah, Eric. And so I gave him my card, and I was like, you know what? He was telling me how he's a musician and how he's playing down in Marina Del Rey this weekend and how I should come check it out if I have time.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think I might, and if they're any good, we'll have them on the show.
Okay. Sounds good.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. We haven't had a musician in a while.
I know.
Yeah.
We've turned from, like, music to literary
people. Yeah. Susie's going, what the fuck, you know?
No, it's fine.
Yeah, I love all these authors. You know, I mean, there's some amazing books, you know. And considering I don't have a lot of time to read now, this is good because you sort of get to glance through it and see what's going on, you know. So
next week, I don't know if it could definitely happen or not, but my sister is coming to Vegas and I think to California as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I might want to bring my sister on.
Oh.
I would be so excited to have her in the studio, Sam.
That would be awesome.
Just love her.
I'm sure.
You would try and fire me and keep her in a second.
No, but I'm sure we're going to find out more stuff about you.
Oh, my God. I don't even want to know the kinds of things that
she... If there's any stuff left that we don't.
Oh, man. I'm telling you, growing up with my sister, you know, she was always the one... She could never hurt me or injure me, you know, and so I was always, like, smaller than she was. And, you know, we would get in these fights because even though I was smaller, I would pick fights with her. Like, I would pinch her, and then she would turn around and try and hit me.
Mm-hmm.
But as soon as she would try and hit me, I would scream bloody murder, and my mom would come in, like, right before she was about to hit me. Mm-hmm. And my mom would be like, don't you dare hit Susie. You know, if she gets a bruise, she won't be able to do her commercial tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
So I was never allowed to be hurt. So I always kind of had, like, the upper advantage with this. Or the upper hand. But then one day, it was really funny. My mom was a music teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And she had these little stickers that she would put on, like, piano students' things if they, like, did, you know, they played it well.
Mm-hmm.
And so she was missing all the stickers from her piano bench. And so she called my sister and me into the room, and she was like, Susie, Mimi, I'm missing my stickers. Did either of you take the stickers? And, you know, I was probably, like, 5 or 6 at the time. And I was like, no, Mama, I didn't take the stickers. And Mimi's like, no, Mom, I would never take your stickers. My mom grabs me, throws me over her knee, and I get spanked.
Oh, wow.
Automatically, my mom, like, believed my sister over me because my sister was always, like, telling the truth.
Right.
I'm telling you, Sam, it was probably, like, 12 years later. My sister and I were drunk, and she's like, I gotta tell you something. And I was like, what? She's like, I took those fucking stickers, and I watched you get spanked. And she said, I was loving every second of it.
Oh, wow.
I was like, you are such a bitch. And I mean, that's, like, kind of how, like, little things in my childhood were. Isn't that mean?
It is.
But, like, literally, like, 12 years later.
But kids do that, you know?
But her guilt finally wore on her.
Yeah.
And she had to tell me the truth.
Kids are so fucking mean, you know? They don't give a shit about other people.
Oh, my God.
You know?
They could be so awful.
Yeah.
Another time, she used to suck her thumb at night.
Mm-hmm.
And this was when we shared a bedroom. We had twin beds on either side of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so my mom took her to the doctor to try and make her stop sucking her thumb.
Right.
So the doctor prescribed this stuff called thumb stuff. and you paint the thumbs at night before you go to bed with this, like, liquid.
Right.
And if you put it in your mouth,
it's really
it burns.
Bitter? Oh, it burns.
I mean, and you just want to, like, kill yourself because it's so bad. Hence making you not suck your thumb anymore.
I know. That's cool. When I was a kid, I used to bite my nails. Mm-hmm. And there was this stuff that you put on your nails, like just like nail polish. It was clear. And it would be bitter. So if you put your hand in your mouth, it's like the worst taste. And you know what? It worked. It worked for me.
Well, you know what? It didn't work for my sister because I didn't know what was going on. You know, I was little and I wasn't paying attention to what she was doing in her life. Mm-hmm. And so she was so smart. Like, she knew that her thumbs had been painted before she was going to bed. And so all of a sudden, like, our parents turn off the lights and we say our prayers and then we go to bed and the door gets shut. And all of a sudden, my big sister, who never wanted to play with me, was like, "Susie, do you want to come in my bed and play baby and mama?" And I was like, "Yes!" I was so excited. My sister wanted to play with me. I'm like, "Okay." So I'm in my nightgown and I like shuffle over to her bed and I hop in. We tuck into the covers together. And all of a sudden she's like petting my hair and she's like, "All right, now babies always do what their mamas say." And I'm like, "Okay." And babies always suck their mommy's thumbs. And I'm like, "Okay." So she shoves her thumb into my mouth and I start sucking. Next thing you know, I'm screaming bloody murder and the lights turn on and my parents are just like, "Mimi, you bad sister." But isn't that awful?
Yeah.
All the things that she did. She was so manipulative.
Yeah.
Oy vey.
Let's take a quick break and see if Tracy's already here. She might be running a little bit late. So we'll go check it out.
You don't like my baby stories?
I do like your baby story, but it has nothing to do with it.
You think I'm fat?
Because if she's here, then I don't want to keep her waiting. But yeah, I do think you're fat. No.
Fuck you.
You're the only one who thinks you're fat, I think. Isn't that usually the case with women?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just ate a really big breakfast today, so I'm like, All right, we'll take a break.
All right.
Hello, this is Borat Sekiev. When I am traveling around the world and have internet connections, I like to gently cup up my balls and listen to LA Talk Radio. It's very nice.
G'day. As anyone knows from watching Rain Man, Qantas Airlines has never had a crash. Well, we're trying to change all that. That's why Qantas introduces Pilot Free Fridays. Can an autopilot land a plane? We'll find out. And if that doesn't work, how about water landing Wednesdays? That unlikely event just got real likely. But there's more. There's new single-engine Saturdays, landing gear malfunction Mondays, turbulence Tuesdays, and thirsty Thursdays. That's where the beer is free, as long as you're the pilot. So next time you fly, choose the carrier that's sick of being the safest. Qantas Airlines. One of these days, I can feel it.
Previously on Sam and Susie in the Morning.
There's something very sensuous when a woman starts talking dirty, you know? You're not expected to in society,
it's
you know?
It's taboo.
Yeah, kind of. Give us another one. Let's hear another one. A really nasty one.
I'm not asking for love. No long language afternoons of touching and caressing. I'm asking to fuck. To take the whole of you into my ride. To tear your cock from your body with my cunt. To bathe in your cum and lick myself clean. I'm not asking for love. I'm asking to fuck. No soft, lovely words and feelings shared. It's better to be your whore than your lover. I want to throw you, rip away your clothes, surprise you with indecency, shove my tits in your face and beg for you to suck them. Sailors have manners compared to me. I'm not asking for love. I'm asking to fuck and be fucked.
Wow! I love it.
That was good. I'm actually turned on. You're definitely a cunning linguist, you know that?
It's Sam and Susie in the Morning on LA Talk Radio.
Well, guest not here yet. Do you think we're going to get stood up?
Maybe she's lost.
Yeah.
Or maybe there's traffic. I don't know. I don't care. This is a really good lollipop.
Yeah. For all you know, I'm going to go back into my email after the show and there'll be a message there. Oh, she couldn't come. She couldn't make it.
You should have your email be able to pop up like while you're here. I don't know. Like I get all of mine right on my phone.
I know. But I can't get distracted doing the show.
Why not? I do.
You do.
Someone's got to keep things on track, I suppose.
Yeah. You look very sexy sucking on that lollipop now.
Thank you.
But at any rate, Tracy Bingham is. I guess she's looking for votes. She's competing with two so-called celebrities, Cato Kaelin from the O.J. Simpson trial fame, and Gretchen Bonaducci, who is the ex-wife of. And
wait, who was the first one from O.J. Simpson?
Yes, Cato Kaelin. I guess you were too young for this.
No,
where were
you
in 94? You were...
Second grade.
Yeah, you see, you probably didn't follow the trial. But Cato Kaelin was a... he was living on O.J.'s property, like renting out a... like
Cato
I guess,
Kaelin?
Cato.
Cato. Oh, that's a man.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. A very ditzy man, you know, like the equivalent of the dumb blonde. And so he was...
I didn't really know there were guys out there like that.
Oh, yeah. And so he became like... famous when he was a witness in the trial. And he was just like, you know, everybody's imagination was going wild with this guy. So then he started doing things like radio and all this thing. So I guess now there's these three people are competing to get a reality show on Fox. And so they need votes. I guess they're trying to figure out which one of the three is going to get their show. So.
Well, yeah. Then that wouldn't be a very smart move standing us up because she's going to lose my vote.
Yeah, there you go. But I think she's already got quite a few from the banner on the front page we have. But
wow.
Yeah, but Tracy's, you know, I never, did you watch Baywatch?
All the
religiously?
Time.
Religiously, really?
Not really religiously, but like whenever it was on and I was like watching TV, I used to watch a lot of them.
Yeah, so you knew her very well as far as the actress. Now, I understood that she came in later into the series, right?
I mean, I wasn't like an avid watcher. Like I watched The Young and the Restless,
right?
But you know, it was just like if it was on TV, I would turn it on. So I didn't really know like the sequence of events,
yeah,
or of people coming on and off.
Yeah,
I really liked when Nicole Eggert
right.
was on.
Mm-hmm.
She was super sexy.
Yeah, I remember her when she was a little girl in that series,
Charles in Charge.
Charles in Charge.
I love Charles in Charge.
I know, nobody probably remembers it, but
oh, I'm sure they
with
do.
Chachi.
Oh, yes. He used to date Pamela Anderson.
Yes, he did.
And then he had his reality show on.
And he's banged Heather Locklear and all these girls.
And
he's,
now
he's had all the stars in
he
Hollywood.
He is so... And then it was like, what is it? Scott Baio's like 40 and single or something.
Is he really?
Well, that was his silly show. And now I think he has a baby. I don't know if he married the girl or not.
Oh.
But I mean, I was watching that show just briefly, you know what I mean, like flipping through the channels, and he, some people just age badly, and it's like, you know what, a hard life of like drinking and drugs and partying really does not work for people long term. Maybe I should take some life lessons.
Yeah, there you go. No, eventually, I don't know successful people that are on drugs or addicted to anything, so I don't
that
think...
That look good?
That look good. Oh, I just thought successful in general, you know, but you're talking about the way people look.
Yeah, the way people look after having had like... You know, a life of privilege and, you know, drugs and partying
right,
and just being
right.
out there all the time.
Yeah. I mean, look at me, you know.
You're remarkably well-preserved. I'll give you that.
Thank you very much. Thank you. I do still feel old inside, you know, but with all these 20-year-olds running around here, but...
we're supposed to be here to keep you feel young.
Yeah, exactly. And it works. It works, I guess, to a certain extent.
mm-hmm.
Yeah, so
I'm really enjoying this lollipop.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. I know one of the hosts brought us a bunch of them for Halloween.
Mm.
So, are you going to go to any Halloween parties?
You know what? I haven't decided yet and I probably should do this soon. My first priority is to get my stupid UCLA application finished by tomorrow at midnight. So, if it's not done by then, I don't know. It'll be done by then. It will be. It'll be done tonight.
Mm.
That's my goal. And then, I don't know. I'm probably going to do a Halloween bike ride.
Oh, okay. In a costume, right?
In a costume. I don't know what I should be, though.
Mm.
I mean, I dress up in costumes, like, all the time for all these bike rides.
Well, what kind?
Well, I'm usually Wonder Susie.
Wonder Susie.
I wear a Wonder Woman cape.
Really?
Yes. Like, the pictures of me from Bike Kill are wearing a Wonder Woman cape. With like face paint all over my face, standing on this surfboard that was attached to a bike.
Uh-huh.
And so that's just kind of like my signature thing. When Franz was arrested for his bike DUI, all of a sudden, you know, I try and like go and talk to the police. Uh-huh. And I'm wearing this like gold unisuit with a Wonder Woman cape. And the cops were like, back up, Wonder Woman, back up. And I was like, no, seriously, you know, I'm a military police here. You know what I mean? Like, da-da-da, that's my boyfriend. I just need to get my car keys out of his bag. Then you could take him away. But they were just like, you think we could take you seriously with that cape? I'm like, all right, fuck off.
So Wonder Woman, is that what you're going to be?
I can't be Wonder Woman because I'm Wonder Woman like at least once
exactly,
a week.
Exactly, every time, every week. Yeah.
I know.
So try to be something else now. Be Catwoman.
I could be Catwoman. That could be kind of, that
like
could be
cats.
Fun and easy.
Yeah.
But then I'd have to get like pleather, like black pleather.
Yeah.
And black pleather is very difficult to move in.
Yeah.
Like it's not very stretchy, I don't think. And so riding a bicycle in black pleather would A, be hot and sweaty. Yeah. Have you ever worn pleather or leather?
No. Well, leather I have, but...
Like, if you wear, like, a leather shirt or leather pants, and you sweat in those,
oh
my gosh, it's a nightmare to get them off.
Really? And it stinks probably, huh?
Because
leather is like an organic thing, you know?
No way, so really?
Yeah. Fuck you, okay?
All right, so I could be Catwoman. What else?
Let's see. I would imagine you probably always look for, like, a sexy costume, right?
Not usually. Actually, most years, I'm, Pippi Longstocking.
I can totally see you as her.
I've usually had long hair. This is, like, my first Halloween with short hair in many, many years. But I usually take my hair and I put it in braids. And then I take hangers and I put the hangers through the braids so my braids are bent out at the side. And then I take white stockings. And I'll have tape like wrapped around them, and then my girlfriends will actually take a red Sharpie and like spend time coloring in all the red stripes, and then with like my Converse on the bottom, and then some overalls, and then I put the freckles on my face.
Yeah.
So I'm a really good Pippi Longstocking, and it's never sexy at all.
No.
But it just fits me.
But it's cute, yeah.
So I think I've been Pippi for like the last 5 years in a row.
Wow.
But last Halloween,
it's time to change.
I know. And I don't have the hair anymore. But last year, I actually totally forgot it was Halloween. The lady that I nanny for and I, her husband, didn't want to go out to dinner with her. So she's like, fuck him. She's like, Susie, why don't we have a girls' night out? Let's go get drunk. And I was like, all right. So I ended up like starting to get ready. And I got a knock on my door. And so I was like, who could be knocking on my door? I opened the door and these kids are like, trick or treat. And I was like, what the fuck are you guys doing here? They're like, it's Halloween. They're like, trick or treat. And I'm like, oh no, I have nothing to give these stupid kids. And so I go and I look in my fridge and all that's in the fridge is beer. And so I look back to them and I'm like, how old are you guys? They're like, 15. And I was like, I was like, are you old enough to drink beer? And they were like, well, not really. And I was like, all right, what's next in my fridge? So I found like these little packets of Crystal Light. And I was like, here's some Crystal Light for you. And here's a tomato soup for you. They left all my shit. They threw it all over the wall as soon as they left my house. Ungrateful little shits, I tell you.
Yeah.
I'm sorry I couldn't give them beer. And then, you know, I don't know. But so I completely forgot Halloween last year. So I'm going to have to make up for it this year.
Yeah.
Oh, no. You know what else I was last year? At a Halloween party that I went to with the family I nanny for, I was Uma Thurman from Pulp Fiction. But so I had the black wig on, the black chin-length wig,
right.
And I was after the heroin overdose, so I had a white button-down shirt ripped open at the chest, and I had red nail polish, like right at your breastbone, and then I had a baby medicine dropper taped to my chest to make it look like the syringe that was shoved in. And so I was that I was Uma Thurman for that, which was really funny.
I know. That was a cool movie, huh?
That movie is amazing.
Yes.
Seriously amazing.
Yeah. And you know what grabbed me the most is the fact that it's like out of sequence, you know? They have the three different sections of the movie. And if I remember correctly, they start with the middle, then it's the end, and then it's the beginning. You know? Remember, in the beginning they show... in other words, at the... they show John Travolta dying, and then they go back to before that, you know? And, yeah, but that was a really good movie.
I usually don't like movies that do that. Like, I think we were talking about the one where the guy, like, tattoos
all
the
Memento.
Things.
Yeah,
Memento. I hated that fucking movie.
Yeah.
To this day, I don't think I've made it through the whole thing. Like, I kept trying
You see, I like that, because it's a different structure for the movie, you know? But I can see where it's hard to understand.
If you can't pay, attention, like, long enough, like, if something doesn't catch my attention and engage me right away, I'm kind of like, la, 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 la.
Yeah.
And then I get distracted, and then I, like, do something else, and then I miss something completely important, and then I'm totally lost.
Yeah.
So that's just me and my silly little brain and the way I work.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness.
Did you ever see The Matrix? Do you like it?
Yeah, I like the first one.
Yes, just the first one.
Yeah.
The other two were terrible. But the first one was good because you didn't know what to expect, you know? So, I mean, that's definitely...
They were wearing pleather.
Yeah, yeah. But it's definitely, I think, my favorite movie of all times. I think it's just...
The Matrix?
Yes. I think it's just a cool movie. The visuals are great, you know? They were the first ones to do all that, like, slow motion thing. And of people like flying in the air and that. And And then the story, I mean, you know, you didn't know what to expect, and then it starts unfolding and all this shit, and you're starting to think we're actually all like just dreaming, you know, and, you know, this whole universe is, or our reality is not really real, you know, and, so it was just, yeah, I mean, it was sort of shocking.
I get that
movie.
Feeling on acid.
Do you? So you don't need the Matrix.
Have you ever taken acid?
No.
Really?
No, I haven't.
Oh, we should take
What's
acid
it
together,
like?
Sam.
Oh, God. It'll probably kill me at this
age. No, it would never kill you.
Yeah. What's it like?
Oh, my God.
You
What's
know,
it
I'm,
like?
You see, I'm picturing like a really heavy high, really strong high, and that kind of worries me, you know? It's not like smoking pot or having a couple drinks or something. You
the
know?
Thing about acid is like once you take it, you are committed to it.
Really?
It is a commitment for 12 hours.
Wow.
The psychiatric manual. If you've taken like over a certain number of tabs of acid, you're certifiably insane.
Are you serious?
Yes, which is me. Yeah. Pick me. I belong in the nut house.
Yeah. When was the last time you did acid?
Last time I did acid. Let me think. I don't remember. I can't really remember.
Well, was it that long ago?
Maybe a year ago.
Mm.
No, I do remember. I take it back. It was New Year's Day this year.
Mm-hmm.
I took 5 or 6 tabs of acid and watched all of the Star Wars.
Jeez, that's a lot.
I know. Well, we started off with one.
You could stay focused on the movie?
Yes.
Really?
But you can't take your eyes off the movie because you're just like, zoom, up, like all the things that are like flying through space. And I mean, everything just looks so clean and fresh and new. Like when you first start taking these drugs,
uh-huh.
I mean, it looks like you can be in like a total shit house of like a nasty, nasty pig pen. Mm-hmm. And everything would just look sparkling and brand new. And the sky is going to look so fresh and beautiful. Mm-hmm. And then you kind of just feel like you're on this crazy, crazy adventure or that you're in a video game or that you're one of the characters or I don't know.
Yeah.
And then just like even touching things and then everything is so magical.
Yeah.
That's the only way I can really explain it. But especially when you start seeing lights and things like that. Whoa.
See, that would scare me, Susie. I don't know. You know? I mean, I enjoy drugs sometimes, but that's too much,
mm-mm.
I think, for me.
Mm-mm.
You know, but we used to do like Quaaludes in the 70s, and those were like animal tranquilizers.
I accidentally took one of those once.
Really?
Yes.
Man, that makes you feel like totally numb. You see, that's the time when the song Comfortably Numb came out by Pink Floyd. And it was like totally you could relate to it, you know. In fact, I thought that's what they wrote it about, is Quaaludes. Because that's how you'd feel. You're totally numb. It feels good to touch. Sex is great. Though it's hard to get it up. Because it's like you feel like you've had maybe 2 cases of beer or something, you know. I mean, you're that like numb. You know, although for you that probably wouldn't be a lot.
No. I had a bottle of wine last night, and that was I'm beginning to think I should cut down to like half a bottle, but half a bottle is like 2 glasses and it's gone so quickly.
And that's not enough.
No.
Wow.
Sorry, I'm like now sucking the thing into the thing.
Yeah.
But by the thing I mean the lollipop.
I know, you shouldn't be eating on the air. It sounds like shit.
I know, I'm sorry, but my throat's kind of dry and like
Okay. Do you want to glance, see if she's here?
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, what the fuck? You know, what is this? You know, we missed the interview with Andy Taylor. You know, we finally land somebody good. We missed the interview with him because they called the day too early. And, no, it doesn't look like she's here. No, huh, Susie? Okay, well, it's officially over. And so now can we start ragging on her a little bit?
Sure.
God, I hate when people flake out, Susie. You know that.
Oh, I know.
Yeah. It's totally disrespectful, you know, to anybody. I never flaked on anybody in my life, you know?
Ever?
No. And if I had to, I would let them know in advance. I mean, but I would never just not show up.
You see, that's one of my things. I never flake, but the thing is I always overcommit myself mm-hmm. to doing, like, so many different things.
Yeah.
And then I always end up, like, trying to overextend myself, and then it's like, okay, I can go to this party for 5 minutes. Then I've got to drive across town to this party for 5 minutes,
mm-hmm.
and then back to this part of town for another 5 minutes, just so I can, like, go to all the things that I committed to.
Mm.
That's what I love about Facebook, because it's got a maybe option. When you're invited, it's like, yes, no, maybe. Maybe.
Maybe. Yeah.
Definitely.
So, I don't know. I mean, what if she got lost and I gave her the wrong address? I would fucking kill myself.
But I can't imagine.
Nah.
Yeah.
You think so?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, my phone just rang. Maybe it's her, but...
Well, does she have your personal phone number?
The manager does, I'm sure.
Oh.
Yeah. They probably give her the number. But yeah, oh well. It was nice while it lasted.
C'est la vie.
Tracy Bingham. Well, maybe she'll come back.
Maybe she'll still come in at like the very last second and we'll have 5 minutes with
her. Here I thought we were becoming important and we get stood up by a major celebrity.
You keep saying major celebrity and it's
no,
like,
I didn't say major celebrity.
You
this
just
is the
did.
First time. No, this is the first time I said it. You said
well, first
keep
time
saying.
On the air. You said it outside too.
I did?
Yes. And I was like, yeah, she's not, I don't, I mean, she's big, but I mean, I don't really think.
No, when, she's not A-list,
when stars,
at least not anymore.
But. When stars go from, you know, being A-list, like Baywatch and things like that, was really big at the time, to having to go to a reality show.
Right.
You know, that's like, that's just, that's looking for attention.
Yeah.
And that's looking to get noticed again.
Yeah. No, absolutely. You know, but look, I mean, careers don't last forever, you know?
Oh, I know, and, as we learned from our author today.
Yeah, and you know, yeah, definitely. And then once you realize that you don't have that anymore, I think you try to go back and get it. Like
one thing. Mm-hmm. And there are certain people in the group, like Franz, who on a daily basis doesn't get any attention. You know, he just sits in his house or wherever and like does his thing on the internet and does nothing and sleeps. He gets no attention, but then on these bike rides, like, he stands out like a sore thumb. I mean, he is the one that the cops instantly go to ticket or arrest or whatever, or what have you. And it's like, me, I get so much attention in the rest of my life. Yes, I'm wearing a Wonder Woman cape, but I mean, everyone else is wearing something, like, even more ludicrous than what I'm wearing.
Yeah.
I have a question for you.
Yeah.
You said Gretchen Bonaducci before, and I feel stupid for not knowing who she is or
who
she was married to.
Okay, Danny Bonaducci. You haven't heard the name?
I've heard it, but I don't know why.
Okay. He used to be on the Partridge Family. He was a child actor. The Partridge Family happened before you were born, of course.
I've heard of the Partridge Family. Heard?
Okay, it was a series on TV, and it was a family, and... a single parent family with a mother and the kids, and he was one of the kids. He was like this red-headed, cute kid playing the guitar or the bass, whatever he was playing. And
Bonaducci doesn't sound like a red-headed kid.
Well, he is, or he was at the time. No, he still is red-headed, and so now he's like all over the place. And he had a reality show called Breaking Bonaducci on VH1, 2 years ago, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And so they would show him and his wife all the time, Gretchen. And
is she hot?
I don't think so. She's not my
type.
How
oldish are they?
Probably in their 40s.
Okay.
You know? Yeah. He's probably just maybe pushing 50. And they show them like having a lot of problems and stuff because he's crazy. I mean, he does crazy shit.
Like what?
You know, standing on top of buildings, you know, on the ledge or something, and getting into fights all the time, riding his motorcycle like crazy and stuff, you know, extremely jealous of his wife, things like that. And you could see all that on the show. And so she finally said, fuck it, you know, I can't live like this anymore, you know. And because he was going out, messing around and all that stuff. So
was the messing around what made her want to leave him?
I'm sure. I think all this together, yeah.
Because it's like, don't you know who you're marrying when you marry a person like this?
Yeah, but I'd imagine she was probably enamored with a former child star, you know, a celebrity. And in fact, he's got a radio show on a 97.1 now for an hour only.
Bonaducci dude?
Yeah, Danny Bonaducci. I happen to like him because he's really screwed up and I can relate to him. You know?
I don't think of you as screwed up at all.
No, I do.
Really?
I think I am, yeah.
Aww.
Yeah, I mean, everybody, when you know, because you know the inside of you, you know, and no, I mean, I would never do the shit that he does, but I can see the tortured soul there, you know. I mean, and I've gone through this many times in my life, so I can relate to it. But anyway, yeah, so it's Kato Kaelin that I told you about, and Gretchen
Bonaducci.
What kind
of name is Kato?
I don't know. I think it was named after their dog. No,
really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's
it
awful.
All came out during the trial. It was fascinating. I mean, I had to watch that fucking trial every day. It was the best fucking TV drama anywhere. Everybody was fucked up. The judge liked the media attention, you know, the prosecution fucked up, all this bullshit with OJ, the glove not fitting and stuff, you know. It was... It was a fucking circus. But then, I mean, I was so fascinated with it that at the end of the trial, I started reading all the books about the trial. You know, so it was cool to find out some behind the scenes and shit. But yeah. But he's in jail now, right? He wasn't really released.
OJ?
Yeah. Is he still in
jail? I hope
jail?
So.
Yeah.
I hope so.
Because he was found guilty, so I would imagine. But nobody's talking about it anymore.
What was he found guilty of? Assault and
yeah, yeah,
kidnapping?
Yeah, I don't know exactly, but he broke into a fucking hotel room holding a gun and trying to reclaim his so-called, his own property. You know, with this memorabilia collector was in that room, and OJ claimed that his stuff is actually OJ's stuff.
Hmm.
You know, so it's that sense of entitlement, I think, that that arrogance that made him be able to walk away from that murder trial, you know.
You think arrogance and a sense of entitlement can get you out of a murder? Wouldn't you say it would be a good legal team?
He had a shitty legal team, but the prosecution was even worse.
Well, I guess thank goodness for the little things for OJ.
Yeah. So you were 12 years old when that happened? Yeah, it was like 14 years ago.
14
so you would have been 12,
I would have been 12. Yeah. I guess I wasn't in second grade.
God, you're so fucking young. I wish I could be 20 again. I'm telling you.
I wish I could be 20 again.
Yeah.
Freaking 26, man.
The 20s are the best, though, I'm telling you. You're too stupid to know, you know, so you just do crazy shit.
Thank you very much.
No, I went through it, too, you know. I mean, that was the partying years by far. I loved partying.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I still do like to party a lot, but I don't know. I kind of would like to settle down a little bit.
Yeah.
But that's not going to happen anytime soon.
No, I don't think so. What if you found a man you really loved and you thought he was marriage material? Would you marry today?
Like today?
Well, okay. In a couple months.
Sure.
You would?
Yeah. Why not?
You wouldn't let him go?
Nah.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll trick him into marrying me. I'll get pregnant or something.
Really? So you're ready for marriage and family and everything and kids?
I think I could be, yeah.
Really?
I love taking care of kids so much.
That's true. But you're still young. I mean, you know, I don't see the hurry there.
Well, if I find the right man, then I get the right nanny. And, you know, it's me and the nanny. And yeah. I can go and do what I want and then whatever.
Yeah, that's true. And plus, you got a lot of this stuff out of your system. I mean, you've been through a lot, you know.
I have been through a lot. I'm ready to roll over
and
die.
You won't feel like you're missing out on anything, you know.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I'm ready for a nap, actually.
Are you?
Being sick just kind of saps the life out of you. Yeah. It makes my eyes feel like so tired and Chinese.
I know, and it's overcast day, you know, so it kind of feels like winter. Just stay in bed, you know. We could use some rain, though, Susie. I can't wait for some rain.
The rain in New York was so amazing.
Yeah? Did you like it?
Oh, my gosh. It was raining so hard, it like stung my face.
Oh, wow. I love that. It never rains that hard here.
Never.
No.
It was so fucking amazing. Made me so happy.
Yeah.
But then just everyone being sweaty and wet bike dog smell. Oh, God. So so the Franz finally, I've kind of forgotten about him.
Really?
Yeah.
How is that possible?
Stop your phone from buzzing over
there.
Well,
I don't know why the vibrating is buzzing. It never happened before.
Well, what do you mean why it's buzzing?
Well, it's not supposed to buzz. It's just supposed to vibrate. You know, but I don't know why it's buzzing now. But yeah, it's the same number. I'll bet you it's her, you know. But I'm not going to answer my cell phone during the show.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, and besides, it's too late now. Mm. We only have about 10, 15 minutes left. So maybe we'll reschedule. Maybe she'll come back again.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm
not going to hold a grudge.
No, definitely not. Yeah. Not until we find out what happened.
Yeah. I know. People always deserve benefit of a doubt. You know, it's like I used to assume a lot all the time, and I would always eat shit because of it, you know? You don't want to assume anything on people until you have the facts, you know?
That's why they always say, don't assume because you make an ass out of you and me.
Oh, Susie, you remember that from middle school.
It's so true, though. Yeah. It really is.
Yeah.
But so anyway, I was telling you that I've kind of forgotten about the Franz.
Yes. So? How did that happen?
I don't know. I just had a really busy week, and he literally like has barely even crossed my mind at all. And then yesterday, my phone rang when I was waiting for the tow truck, and I thought it was the tow truck, and it said, the Franz. And I was just like, why are you laughing?
Because, I mean, what are the odds?
And I was just like, I stopped and I was looking at it.
It said, the Franz?
That's what it says when he calls, the Franz.
No, I know, but the truck said that?
No, my phone, like the caller ID of my phone, said the Franz.
Oh, okay. What the fuck? I thought you saw it on the car or something.
No, I'm looking at my phone, and my phone, the caller ID said the Franz was calling.
Okay. All right, okay. I don't know what I'm thinking. Go ahead,
I don't know what you're thinking either. Yeah. but anyway, I was just kind of like confused for a minute, and I was like, oh yeah, I guess my boyfriend's calling. You know, I literally hadn't thought about him in like a couple of days.
Wow.
Hadn't talked to him, hadn't called him, hadn't emailed him. Yeah. Nothing.
You see, out of sight, out of mind, I really believe that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it sort of like fades away, you know. But he is coming back soon, right?
November 14th.
Oh.
So, pretty soon, pretty soon. What are you doing for Thanksgiving?
I haven't thought about it yet. Yeah, we'll probably go somewhere, though. I remember last year or 2 years ago, we went to Sequoia Park, and that's National Park, and it's beautiful.
Go camping?
Yeah. Well, we didn't go camping, really.
Because, I was going to say, you go camping?
Yeah, I would love to, Susie. I just never do it, you know. But so it wasn't really camping, but, you know, we visited there and stuff. It was really cool.
Did you stay in a hotel?
Well, that's the thing, is that there's only a couple of, like, really rinky-dink motels there.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was nighttime already, like 5 o'clock when we were leaving. And we thought, okay, we'd stay over at one of these motels. We went and looked at a room. It was colored, like, ugly, like, light blue.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It looks like fucking, I don't know, like a basement. And I, you know, I told my wife, I said, there's no way I'm staying here. You know, I'm a 5-star hotel kind of person. So I told her, you know what? Let's go to San Francisco. And it's not that, it wasn't that close. It took 4 hours to get
four
there.
4 hours to get
four
there?
4 hours, yeah. But we ended up in San Francisco. We went to the Marriott and we slept there. And then the following day, or two
you
days later.
You're such a spoiled little brat.
I know, but we got a San Francisco trip out of this too. And then on the way back, we stopped at Sequoia again and came back home.
What is Sequoia?
It's a national park, and there's like really huge sequoia trees there.
Like the ones where you could drive through the tree?
Not really, but, you know, they're pretty. Now, why would a person that knows I have a show right now would be calling me right now?
I don't know.
I need to understand that. People do this all the time. But at any rate, I get distracted with the cell phone.
I got a phone call from Chase like 10 minutes before I got here at like 8:50. Mm-hmm. And I pick up the phone. She's like, where are you? And I was like, at the radio station. And then she's like, oh. It's like, you were just on the show 2 days ago. It's like every morning from 9 to 11, this is what I do.
Yeah.
Everyone in my life should know this by now.
But you know what I couldn't believe is that it was sort of, like, well, I don't know if it was offensive, but she didn't even know my name. I mean, did she ever listen to your show?
She has listened to it before.
But she doesn't fucking know my name, which is in the title of the show.
I know. And I've talked about you to her before. And
yeah.
Like I've talked about the show and everything like that.
Yeah.
She's kind of in her own little world.
Yeah, well, I'm insulted. I felt she's that kind. You know what? I'm willing to bet you, when she was like in high school, she was probably the stuck-up girl there. You know, the hot girl that everybody wanted, and she was just stuck-up. I mean, that's a vibe I got from her, you know?
She does kind of give that off sometimes,
yeah.
But you just kind of, it's kind of her protective mechanism as well to kind of make sure that, you know, people have to like get through that like coating or layer of her to actually like get to the real her.
Right.
So that's just kind of the way she is. And also, you know, how was she to know that you were Sam? You know, I mean, you could have been like a technician working in the studio that was just here to set up for the show, and Sam was going to come in later. You know, she didn't necessarily know that you were.
You introduced me to her when I got here.
Did I say you're Sam?
Yeah, you said Sam. Here's Chase. This is my friend Chase. Yeah.
All right. Well, now I'm just making excuses.
I mean, yeah. Look, I mean, if she's in her own world, then
she'll never forget your name again.
I'm sure.
She wants to come back too.
Yeah.
Will you have her back again?
Of course. Why not? But she's gonna have to be more open sexually now.
All right.
You know, we need to find out.
We need to find out.
To know what makes such a hot chick tick, you know?
Apparently getting breakfast in bed makes a hot chick like that tick.
Yeah. But you know what? You talked about her perfect boobs, and I couldn't see much of them, but they did look, from what I could see, they looked perfect.
They were pretty unbelievable.
Right.
Really, really unbelievable. Like, she really should have a bust made.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Or some kind of, like, doll.
Yeah, or a breast model or something, you know? Like, for bras and things like that.
That's called a Victoria's Secret model, and you have to be like 10 feet tall.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Even if you just like, because there's models just for certain body parts, right? Like there's a hand model and a foot model and stuff. Don't they have like a breast model, you know, where you don't have to see the whole body and they just show the torso?
I don't know.
Can do that. No?
I think she thinks she's more skilled than that with her acting.
Yeah, but it doesn't mean she can't do it. I mean, what the fuck? You know?
Oh, this is turning to shit quickly.
Why?
I don't know. Because I said so.
It's not turning to shit. So your lollipop, what is it? It has like chocolate in the middle?
It's a Tootsie Pop. Oh, how many licks right. does it take to get to the center of the Tootsie Pop?
Yeah.
Remember those commercials? And the
Well, for you, it took a whole hour, right? You've been sucking on this thing since we started.
I've been sucking very gently.
Yeah, since we started pretty much.
Sucking very gently and just lightly licking the tip of it. But now I've gotten to the good stuff, and it's chewy.
Yeah.
It's soft and
You know, you should be writing some X-rated poetry.
Thank you.
I bet it would be pretty good.
I don't know. I don't think of myself as like a creative person.
Really?
Like that.
Do you like to write? You don't like to write?
I have a bunch of journals that I write in, but yeah. I only write in them when I'm like disturbed or when I'm depressed or when something like weird is going on.
Yeah.
And so the fact that I haven't written in a journal in like a year is a good sign.
Yeah.
Yes.
It means you haven't had any
traumatic experiences.
Good.
Like seriously, I've got some fucked up things in some journals. Yeah. But
I'm wondering if it's the same people trying to call me because this phone is not stopping, but it's different numbers all the time. I mean, why the fuck is everybody trying to get me between 9 and 11?
I do that sometimes. If I know someone's not going to pick up the phone, I call from a different number.
Yeah.
And you trick them.
Yeah. Yeah, now it's from a blocked number.
That's why I can't stand when anyone tries to call me from a number I don't know. I will never pick it up.
Yeah. I know. I sort of made it a point not to answer blocked calls.
You know? It's like, and if they want to get in touch with me, leave a message.
Exactly.
And I will get back to you.
Just unblock your fucking number.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
I hate block numbers. There's nothing worse.
Yeah.
It's like, you think you're like so cool that you've got to block your number?
Yeah. Tell me something. Do you watch any of these popular shows like Dancing with the Stars or anything? You don't watch TV like me, huh?
Mm-mm.
Yeah. There's all this shit happening, you know? Like Dancing with the Stars. What's so fucking amazing about that show? It's all like has-beens, you know, who are getting out there and dancing.
I have seen that show and I kind of like it.
Do you?
Well, I just kind of, I like the dance aspect.
Yeah, women like dancing. Women like dancing.
And I grew up as a dancer, and so I think it's kind of interesting to see.
Yeah.
I was actually thinking about like getting back into it a little bit and just maybe like taking one dance class a week or something.
Yeah.
Might be kind of fun. But then
it's good exercise, too.
It's a good exercise. But then I was thinking, I'm like, you know, I'm old. What if I fall and break my hip?
Yeah, you're really old.
No, I'm not like 14 anymore. Like, seriously. I could fall and break my hip, and then what would I do?
What would you do, Susie?
I don't know. Then you'd have to come and pick me up every day in a wheelchair.
You already have a bad hip, right?
They're loose hip joints.
Oh, is that what it is? Loose hip joints.
Loose hip joints.
Mm. How does that happen?
I don't know. I have. They're kind of like double jointed in a way.
Mm.
So they literally can. I'm extremely flexible.
Mm.
Like if I put myself on the floor right now and spread my legs, I can roll over back and forth. Completely, yeah. Like my legs will go
really?
Completely.
You know
out.
The photo you sent me when you were coming to the show to audition.
Mm-hmm.
You sent me one where you did a split
with my leg in the air.
No, you're actually they're both like both legs to the side, and you just kind of like it was a complete split.
Really?
Yeah.
Or
maybe close, maybe not quite a split, but your legs were like widespread and you're like sort of touching the floor and stuff.
Why would I have sent
sitting.
You that picture?
I don't know. And with that expression on your face, like you're sucking cock.
Actually, you know what? I know exactly where that picture was. I was so high in that picture.
Really?
That picture was at my ex-boyfriend Drew's house in Vancouver.
Uh-huh.
Oh, my God. All right, I'm going to freak out on your phone. Give it to me.
Okay. Well, if somebody's trying to call the station, please call 323-203-0815. Okay? And not my cell phone, because I can't answer it right now. Nobody really gives a shit.
I think you should answer that fucking phone. I'm gonna throw it out the window.
Yeah.
Actually, my dad had his phone thrown or lost once. He was playing golf,
mm-hmm.
And his phone wouldn't stop ringing. Mm-hmm. And my dad never puts it on vibrate. So one of his friends was having a really shitty golf day and like ripped the phone out of his belt loop thing
uh-huh.
and just threw it so far into the woods it could never be found. Isn't that so awful?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we have a phone call. Let's see. Good morning. You're on the air with Sam and Susie.
Hey, it's me.
Who's me?
TJ.
Oh, it's TJ.
Yes.
Yes, TJ. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. Good morning, guys.
Are you calling to talk to our celebrity who's not here?
What the hell happened? Now, you see, now I tuned in a couple times this morning waiting to hear. What the hell happened this time?
I don't know. You tell me, man. You tell me. You know.
I just wanted to let everybody know that Tracy Bingham's going to be on my show today at noon.
Fuck you. I started to believe him too.
And I've also got Jacqueline Smith and Cheryl Teagues and more models.
Yeah, and Kate Smith, Kate Jackson.
And Kate Jackson, yes.
Those are the Charlie's Angels, by the way.
Really?
Well, you know, that sucks. I think you got to start taking shots at people that don't show up.
I know. I'm just too nice. I'm too fucking nice, TJ. But you know what? I'm giving him the benefit of a doubt because I'm starting to think, what if I gave him the wrong address or something? You know, then I'm really going to feel like an asshole.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know.
Thanks for covering for me yesterday, TJ.
Oh, it was a pleasure. Anything I can do.
It was actually Sam's fault. I offered to still come in if he would offer to come pick me up. But he's like, fuck that, I'm not coming to pick your ass up.
Yeah, I mean, she wants me to go up on Beverly Glen, go in the into the city in the morning. It's 7:30 in the morning to get her. But the funny thing is how, Susie, you turned it around on me now. Okay, you're the one who couldn't make it to work, but it's my fault because I didn't come to pick you up and take you back.
I could make it to work if you picked me up.
Oh, okay. You couldn't arrange anything with somebody else.
No.
Okay, fine. You see, TJ, that's what I have to put up with every day.
I
get it for my wife at home, then I come here and I get blamed here.
Don't say yeah, and support him, TJ. Whose side are you on?
I'm on both sides.
Oh, please.
TJ,
I'm not on Tracy Bingham's side, that's for sure, because she didn't show up.
Yeah. Tell me something. You have anything interesting coming up on your show this afternoon?
Actually, I've got a really good political discourse that I'll be moderating. I've decided to take myself out of the discussion because I'll just get... I'll get...
Bullshit.
Involved. yeah.
We'll see how long you last.
But today is really going to be a really good political debate / discussion between two very funny men. Jack Simmons is a very well known comedian from back east, and he's making a name for himself as a conservative comic. He's got a couple of really funny conservative songs that are out now that have just been released on iTunes. One is called "Everybody's a Racist," and the other one is called "Offended." And that's Jack Simmons. He's going to be on. The other part of the debate from the left will be Paul Gilmartin, a comedian friend of mine who is host of Dinner and a Movie on TBS every week.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, that's my friend Paul. Paul's going to be coming from the left today. And that's what it's going to be. I'm going to sort of sit in the middle and sort of moderate the discussion / debate. Originally, it was going to be just Paul on the show, and I kind of realized that, you know, I'm just feeling so passionate about this, I don't want to get into an argument with my friend. So I figured, let me bring in a pit bull of my own, and I'll let somebody else argue, and I'll just sort of move the show along. So that's today at noon, The World of T.J. McCormick, Paul Gilmartin from TBS Dinner and a Movie, and Jack Simmons, the conservative comedian. They'll both be on the show, breaking down the election and the campaign and what's in store for America.
Great.
Wow,
great.
That sounds fun.
Yes, and TJ does know his politics, man. Yesterday I couldn't even hold a candle to you. But that's good, man.
That's not true. It is true.
I'm the expert on sex. You're the expert on
politics. I'm the expert on sex.
Yes, okay.
Yeah, I think she's got us both beat on that.
I think so.
Oh, wow. I have a funny feeling that, like, you know, if we were in, like, a party and, and Susie, and, like, if you, like, walked into a room and, like, Susie was in there, like with a dude or whatever, and you go, oh, my God, I'm so sorry. And she wouldn't care if you just sort of lingered for a moment.
Absolutely not.
And joined in.
Why don't you join in? Can never have too many hands.
See, that's why a girl like Susie is bad news. Bad news. Bad news. Dangerous girl.
I love you, TJ.
I love you too, Dolly. And I think I'll be doing some covering for you around the holidays. So, cool.
Because you're going to be gone. Right?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay,
well,
TJ.
I'm coming over. I'm going to go get in my car, and I'll be there in a little bit. I'll see you guys. Love you.
Okay, TJ.
Bye, TJ.
Thanks. That's TJ McCormick, of course, from our noon show, The World of TJ McCormick. And if you never listened, you definitely should.
You definitely should.
It's a different kind of show. And he's very funny. Anyway.
His name is so appropriate, too. I love that.
Yeah,
TJ? Because he's in his own little world, too.
Yeah.
His own little conservative.
Oh, the world. Yes, absolutely. All right, we came to the end of the show. Our guests never showed up, and I have a feeling they've been trying to call, but I don't know. Well, yeah, so if we're lucky, she'll come back, so stay there. But in the meantime, let's be nice to Tracy Bingham and vote for her And I think she would put on a pretty cool reality show.
Well,
and then
we'll
they
find
could
out.
Come and bring the TV camera and stuff with them to here.
Yeah.
To this studio and stuff.
That'd be fun.
Yeah. In fact, we might have a porn star who has a reality show, and they're going to do that. They're going to bring cameras into here and stuff.
Give me some advance notice so I'll have time to like do hair and makeup.
Okay.
Shut up. You look the same every day. It's not easy being a girl.
Yeah.
What?
What are you trying to say?
No, men always look the same every day.
Yeah,
you never look any different.
Yeah.
Well, no, like your face. Like you don't put makeup on. Your hair's always the same because it doesn't change.
Yeah.
Your face is always the same because you always shave it.
Yeah.
Like you never look any different, which is
that's
good.
That's true. Consistency.
But
right?
I look different every day.
Yeah, well, that's what women are for. I mean, look, in business, men all wear suits like soldiers, and women have the freedom to try
mix
a different variety. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, have a good time. Tonight, maybe tomorrow night, whatever
working,
you're doing.
Working, I'm
working. Are you working?
Yes, I'm off to work right now.
All right, so have a good time. Thank you all for joining us, and we'll be back here tomorrow.